Thanks for tuning in, everybody. My name's Chippy, and you're listening to the Ultrabook News podcast, something we're going to try and do a bit more regularly, actually. But this week we're going to do one because it has been CES 2013 out in Las Vegas. We weren't there, unfortunately, but we tracked it pretty closely. And so on the line, I'm really happy to have with me today for the next 20 minutes, Bob Duffy from the Intel Software Network. Bob is community manager for Ultrabooks and tablets. And directly related, or you live in the software side of Intel, right? But maybe just quickly tell us what you do.
Yeah, I do. I live on the software side of things. You can find all of us fun community managers over at software.intel.com. But yeah, you know, I get to play with the cool technology that you write about and then try to make sense of it for developers.
Yeah, and that's an important bit. We'll talk a bit more about that in the podcast. But let's just talk about CES in general, and well, let's kick off with the Intel press event, because that was one of the bigger events, and you and I managed to catch it live on who broadcast that? CNET, didn't they?
Yeah, it was CNET. Yeah, and that was a great feature. I have to be really honest with you. To be able to sit back in my own room and watch that over really good Wi-Fi, that was great.
Exactly. I had the same thing here. It was an absolute godsend because, not being at Las Vegas is sometimes a real disadvantage if you're trying to report on it. But actually, that was really nice. So it was about 45 minutes, 50 minutes, I think, the keynote. And lots of stuff talked about, going from, emerging market smartphone platforms, which we won't talk about here. But a lot of Ultrabook talk, and in fact, it kicked off with a big Ultrabook promo video highlighting Ultrabook convertibles as being the game changer, right? I think is the words that... Yep. That were used, and plenty of Ultrabook convertibles on the stage as well. Bob, did you what did you think of the coverage for the Ultrabook side of things? Was it more or less than you expected?
It was about what I expected. It probably wasn't what CNET expected, according to how they introed what Intel was going to talk about. But it was about what I expected, because definitely I think what we're seeing is an interesting evolution right now with PCs, because of the Ultrabook. As you know, if you walked into a Best Buy store or whatever your favorite retailer is, the laptop notebook form factor has relatively gone unchanged for 15 years. And we're starting to see some interesting new technology from the mobile side now available in Ultrabooks. And I think that's what that promo was about, with the football, American football, spiraling across and showing that, it's a game changer now with these new devices and all these new form factors.
Absolutely. And it, like you said, it's been 15 years of laptops, which were getting, to be honest, more and more boring, as tablets came in, which were touch capable, dynamic user interfaces, the app stores and stuff like that. Laptops were, every time I opened my laptop, it was like, oh God, I've got to open Exchange again and go and do some work. There was no, the excitement was missing. Maybe the excitement should never really be there, but I'm glad it is now.
Yeah, it is, and I think that Intel is doing a bit of pushing. We do this every so often, where we try to push the ecosystem, say, "Hey, we've got to make these things exciting again." And I think that's what that game-changing promo was about. And then to see it on stage, all the different form factors, the different flavors of what you have, and for me, the message is, that's Moore's Law in effect, is as that processor gets smaller and more energy efficient and more powerful, you see these things and you realize it in new exciting devices.
Yeah, that's right. These new form factors are really for the first time made possible. Well, let's say that for the first time with, sort of desktop power CPU inside. And we've seen this sort of stuff before with Atom, but now it's with, a desktop capable of truly or all-encompassing CPU. On the form factors, though, you're the community manager. What sort of feedback are you getting? Is there something that's some form factor that's standing out as being more popular or less popular than others?
I think it's a little early to tell, because we just got done with a round of kind of what we call enabling around touch and sensor based ultrabook. So your traditional clamshell based ultrabook that now has touch and sensor features in it, and now we're starting to see the different modes, which have the flip over screen, or you might have two screens on the device, or a slider screen, and even some of the new detachable models. But what I'm mostly seeing right now is some screen that just flips over or transitions from a general, you know, notebook mode to flipping it over in some way, like the XPS has that middle flip, whereas the Yoga has a flip kind of on that key hinge, yeah, and flips it over on the other side. So I'm seeing that as kind of the interesting form factor, because you know that you can still have the guts in the keyboard side of things, whereas then the screen just kind of flips over. So, you know, if you're looking at kind of the first series of the third generation core processor, that works really well in that form factor. But with this event, we started to hear about more interesting things happening with the next series of the third gen core, and then even going to Haswell, which now you start, you know, moving the battery and the processor to the screen, and you have more detachables. So we're seeing that evolution happen. But right now with developers, what I'm hearing is they're excited to get their hands on these flip-over screens to see how they can build app experiences that make use of both scenarios. I'm sitting and I'm working, maybe for an extended period of time where my hands are on the keyboard, and then now I flip over to tablet mode, and now I'm holding the device with two hands, and my thumbs are free. And then that's a different usage scenario. So developers have a bit of catching up to do with what's happening on the hardware side.
Yeah, that's right. And it's not just about touch as well, is it? I mean, you mentioned just then sensors. So that's things like accelerometer, ambient light, gyro, GPS, all those sort of things. Should developers expect those in all ultrabooks going forward, or is that just going to be a sort of subsection of ultrabooks that will have those sensor packs in?
I think you can expect that going forward. And one of the messages that you heard from this press event is Intel is adding requirements in. So right now you can have an ultrabook that's got, you know, some of these features but not all of these features. But you're looking to see that Intel is providing more of these things as a requirement. So touch is definitely a requirement on ultrabooks as you move into Haswell. So 2013, you know, by the end of the year, you know, that will be synonymous. Touch and ultrabook will be together. Sensors as well, you know, you can expect these things will be there. So things like accelerometer, the motion sensors, light sensors, those things will be part of the ultrabook experience.
Right. And actually, going back to that touch requirement, I was a little bit surprised about that when I heard it, but then and immediately a little bit shocked. I thought, well, you know, there's a lot of people at this stage that just aren't into touch on their laptops at the moment. And then when I thought about it, I wrote an article and sort of went through it from the other side of the coin, which was actually it's pretty good that Intel start to refine down what an ultrabook is and tighten it up, because actually a lot of people, including developers, have been a little bit worried that the definition was getting looser. So from that perspective, I'm really quite pleased that that's happened or will happen later 2013.
Yeah, I mean, there's a dual-edged sword here, and I think the developers are caught kind of between both sides of that with these form factors becoming more interesting again in all of the different things that you saw on stage. A developer doesn't then know what to expect. If I'm going to build an application, what features can I expect that the user and the consumer is going to have if there's all of this fragmentation? So what Intel is doing is building the technology that will allow for these different features, and then saying, okay, we got to realize that keyboard and the mouse might be more of an option. And the one thing that we know everybody's going to have is a finger, and they can touch the device, right? So touch then becomes a requirement. You know that you've got to be able to operate your applications through that kind of experience.
Yeah. And one of the other things that was highlighted this week, which could also, I guess, move into the ultrabook, is perceptual computing. Currently, this is enabled through some developer hardware that you're working on with, I think, Creative, and offering as part of sort of a beta software development pack. But that sort of stuff could end up in an ultrabook, and I suppose eventually be part of an ultrabook.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And that is the plan. It was actually stated at the press event, so I got to take them on their word that what you see now as what we thought of as a webcam, as this thing you went out and you bought as a peripheral and attached it to your device, we now know that that's just built in, right? You know, every device has just got a camera built in. You can't get a mobile device without one. In fact, now there are two cameras in these devices. So Intel believes that perceptual computing will be the same thing, is we need these sensors that are on the device. And I consider a camera, in a way, a sensor, is that's the way for the device to recognize you so that we can interact with it in a way that makes sense to us rather than us trying to understand how the computer can interact with us. So if it can see us and know how far we are away, things like that, then we can build amazing applications that are more intuitive. So the technology has to be part of the platform.
Face login was one of the demos on stage, right? Which was pretty interesting when they talked about it, because then not only were they tracking points on the face, they were, if I understand it correctly, tracking muscle movement as well, so that you can't fake, you know, an image using a, you know, printout.
Yep, yeah, that's right. Because the thing about the perceptual computing technology, that's not just a single regular camera like you might expect. There's a 3D sensor in there as well. So it knows exactly how far away, say, your nose is versus your chin from the camera in distance. Right? And so it's going to measure that. So it's going to look at all of those different things. It's going to look at the muscles and the density of the muscles and the fat. Well, actually, I don't know to that degree, but it can look at all of those different elements on your face, have the algorithms in there in order to more accurately match that this is a real person in front of me rather than somebody just putting up a photo. So yeah. The technology is much more evolved, much more sophisticated, and then obviously there's some smart software to make that happen.
I can see some of that processing going into silicon in the future as well. That's probably your end game there, I'm sure. More Intel Inside. Well, it does make sense, doesn't it, from a business perspective, right?
Well, there you go.
So that was Ultrabooks. Also on stage, they talked a little bit about Clover Trail, which is very, very new. It's only a couple of months old, Clover Trail being the Intel Atom-based Windows 8 tablet platform, right? You've got... which one have you got there, Bob? You've got the Samsung, I think.
Yeah, I've got the Samsung here, the Ative 500 Smart PC. So it's a tablet form factor, you're running an Atom processor, like you explained. And I've been running this for just about 2 months now, and I'm pleasantly surprised. And this is just not Intel fanboy talking here, but be honest with you, this has become my main system, mostly replacing the other devices that I use.
Interesting. Wow. I mean, I was surprised too, and I was pretty much Mr. Atom fanboy anyway, but I'm surprised. I really am, truly, because I didn't think it would be this power efficient in the connected standby mode. You know, I thought we might get, you know, a day of use out of it, but I'm sitting here on the, you know, the Acer W510, and it's running for 4 days with Skype running in the background, on, connected to the Wi-Fi, which is, it's an incredible step forward for to see a PC running down to into this sort of smartphone category. It's incredible.
Yeah, and I think that this is a message to developers, is the kinds of technology that you've been seeing on the mobile side that we're used to on smartphones and with consumer tablets, that is now in, you know, like you said, a desktop level system, you know, and now just as portable. And it's just, for all of us who've been using Windows for many, many years, it's just a weird experience to hit a button and the applications to be right there.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of journalists complain about accessing the start or shutdown features in Windows 8, but I can tell them that come connected standby, you won't be bothering to look for that shutdown, because it's just not needed anymore. The power button is not needed anymore.
It's not really needed. And the only thing I've noticed with this is just like occasional when you get some updates and things like that, and if you're running it days without ever turning it off. Sometimes you just need to do a power cycle is to clear things out. But I run into that with my iPad and my Android devices as well. Same exact thing. Sometimes you just have to do a hard boot. But it's one of those things that it's a rarity now. It's not an everyday event.
Yeah, yeah. And so although Clover Trail is Atom-based, the Bay Trail was announced, which will be the next gen, well, only the second version of the Atom architecture. Did I say that correctly? It's a re-architect of Atom at the CPU level, right?
Yeah, yeah. So it's interesting to see, you know, Bay Trail come up. What is it? 22-nanometer quad core new Atom architecture. So. Again, Moore's Law in effect here, and it's the same thing that we're seeing with Ultrabooks is, you know, now that you advance the processor technology here, you can expect it to change the experience. You can expect in terms of size, weight of the device, performance of the device to even improve.
Yeah, and actually I would say to developers thinking about working on Ultrabook apps, just to take a look at one of these connected standby devices, because It is a completely different experience, and I believe it will come to the Ultrabook in 2013 with Haswell. I think we'll see connected standby devices. Intel, you guys haven't actually said outright that it's going to happen, but I'm pretty sure that's one of the aims there. If not 2013, then 2014. So, Bob. Carrying on with the software side of things, we have a lot of developers listening, and I hope they're listening to the podcast here. Where would the developer go then for sort of information, reference material, help, that sort of stuff from Intel?
Yeah, thanks for giving us the opportunity to plug what we do, Steve. So, yeah, go to software.intel.com. That's the Intel developer zone, and we support all sorts of things with developers, things that you'd expect Intel to do, like, you know, science research students that we've been doing forever. But with, you know, these devices, now part of the app economy, we're supporting app developers as well. And you'll find, if you go to software.intel.com, you'll find an Ultrabook and tablets link right there on that page. Click that. That's the area that I manage as part of the Intel developer zone. And we've got a lot of resources. So there are case studies, there are code samples, tutorials, video demos there, and lots of opportunities for us to showcase developer good works.
Great. And of course, education is only one aspect of it. What about the economics of the of writing software now for Ultrabooks? We're at the early stages really for Ultrabook implementation and growth. So what can developers do to get to help their the economics of their project? Are you guys helping in any way?
Yeah, we are helping. We always have various programs in effect. So on the front end of the economic side of things is we may do something to help the developers get moving in this direction. So, for example, on perceptual computing, which you just mentioned earlier, we've got a challenge right now. It's called a perceptual computing challenge, where we're asking developers to start developing early prototypes for perceptual computing. Even though this hardware isn't yet integrated into the devices and it's a separate camera, we want developers to start thinking about the new usage scenarios and interfaces with a touch-free computer. So we've got some prizes there that developers can win. It's an open challenge, so there's plenty of opportunity to show off your skills, to get some recognition from Intel, and also to win some money. So you can do that. And then stay tuned with us as we do different things and we have different initiatives. There's always something going on. It may be a contest. It may be a challenge. We might even have an opportunity for app funding, which happens every now and again. And then beyond just kind of Intel, you know, helping the ecosystem and providing monetization opportunities, we've got things like AppUp, which is a distribution channel for you. We have in-app purchase APIs that you can add to your applications. And that would help a developer who's not necessarily fully transitioned their app development over to the Windows 8 modern UI, but if they still have a desktop application, more of a legacy application, but they want to integrate in the touch and sensor features that they know work well on the tablet or the Ultrabook, AppUp is a great place to start monetizing those applications.
Interesting. Monetization of the desktop stuff. Yeah, that's well, AppUp has been around for a few years now, hasn't it? It started on the netbook side of things. In fact, it started... Yeah, it started on the netbook side of things and was going to be something that Migo was going to be using. Of course, that chance is gone now. Well, does it still live on, Migo? I don't know if you...
Well, it lives on with Tizen. So you can go to Tizen.org, and that project is in full force. I think a little over a year ago, we announced that Samsung was going to work with this on Tizen. So they had the Limo Foundation.
Right.
You know, we had Migo. We married those things together. So this project is still being run by the Linux Foundation, just as Migo was. So you'll be hearing more exciting things about Tizen, and obviously we'll be at Mobile World Congress, and that's more of that mobile conference. So look for more Tizen information there.
Yeah, you mentioned Mobile World Congress. That's your next big event, right? I'll be there actually doing some work with Intel as well while I'm there. So I know that there'll be perceptual computing there, the software developer network, the guys from the media SDK department, all sorts of other stuff there. So if you're a developer looking to develop for Ultrabooks or Windows 8 tablets for 2013, probably good idea to head to Mobile World Congress because you're going to get to meet the right people, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We're really showing off that breadth, you know, the platform of choice that Intel provides. So, yeah, from Android to Tizen to Ultrabook, you know, Windows 8-based tablets. And then, like you said, all of our tools, things like Media SDK, the optimization and compiler tools, those are all showcased very well at Mobile World Congress.
And I know you guys usually take a good stack of Ultrabooks to give away. I'm not going to ask you if you're going to take them this year, but last year you had bundles of Ultrabooks to give away. So I
we did, and I'm going to be honest with you, I don't know what the plans are, so please don't have any expectations.
That's all I'm saying. Usually you have stuff with you, so
I can say that in 2013, we are looking aggressively at getting hardware in the hands of developers. What that hardware is, I can't quite say, and when it is, I can't say. But just like we had our App Labs over 2012, and you know, those were where we invited developers, and we gave them Ultrabooks, the ones with touch and sensors, and then put them on their merry way to develop apps. So same thing in 2012. You know, we'll have different application labs where we might have those opportunities, but there will definitely be opportunities for developers to get hardware from Intel.
Excellent. Well, Bob, if you've got time when those things get announced, let's get together again and have another chat and just put the information out to people, because I know we have a lot of developers on ultrabooknews.com reading this and hopefully listening to the podcast. So would you be able to join us again for another one sometime soon?
Yeah, definitely. Looking forward to more opportunities like this, Steve. And we'll be looking, actually, you and I looking forward to, I believe, Ultimate Coder 2, which is the next round of a very public challenge between handpicked developers. And that might be something I would love to talk about and showcase on.
Definitely. Yeah, that's. I'm looking forward to that. I haven't really announced anything yet on the site, so anyone listening to the podcast, it's an exclusive for you. The next Ultimate Coder Challenge is coming up, so keep an eye out for it. So, Bob, thanks very much again for your time. It's heading to the weekend. CES is over. I think we're going to have a quiet one. Are you going to have a quiet one?
I'm going to do my best.
All right. Thanks for joining us. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And hopefully we'll see you again on the next podcast.